It was just this round ball with these two little feet sticking out and two little arms. I'm getting back to that look. Just getting bigger.
Where were you born, Johnny?
Where was I born?
Yeah.
In Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey. That's where I was born.
Probably glad you got out of there, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wow, ambassador program? Good idea. They'll send me way far away from this place. I knew I wanted to leave. I just didn't know where to go.
Where did you go out well?
Louisiana. Shreveport, Louisiana.
Ooh, yeah. That had to be a culture shock.
That certainly, it was. It really was. I remember the first, first couple of months we were there, I guess. I remember, back in, this was like 75, 6, something like that. And I remember, no, he hasn't. Yeah, he did. He just joined us. Hi, Tim.
Howdy, howdy.
Good, I'm glad. Did you get that text from me? I guess you did.
I did.
Okay.
And I remembered the password all by myself.
Oh, good. Good. Well, glad you joined us. Anyway, I was saying, it was a culture shock. I mean, the South at that time was still, coming out of the deep, segregation it was pretty eye-opening for me because, in the Northeast, it didn't have a lot of that stuff. When I grew up, it just didn't, it wasn't that way. And, seeing it, was just, really, revealing to me, because it was a real thing. I really saw it for the first time. I mean, I went into I was going into a bank one day, to cash a cashier's check or something like that, or my paycheck. And a black woman was coming in at almost the same time. And I opened the door for her and she wouldn't walk through. She would not, she was an older woman, but she was so set in that mindset, that blacks don't have any real privileges, And so it really revealed to me something that I'd never seen before. Read about it, heard about it, all that, but you don't really understand it until you experience it and you really see it.
Yeah.
Which is, so that was my first awareness, real physical, real awareness of the prejudice and segregation that, the people in the South lived with. So praise God, it's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
And especially for us who know. We're all sons of God. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Color doesn't matter. Location does not matter because we're all seated in the heavenlies. We're all in the same seat.
Exactly.
On the right hand of God, right?
Yeah.
So it's a blessing to know the truth. That's for sure.
Most definitely.
And to live it, to be able to live it freely. So.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, I was glad to get out of Shreveport, too. Made some really wonderful friends there, though. The believers, we blessed a lot of people's lives there. So.
You should tell your angel.
That's when I had my first angel visit, where I believe an angel really came and saved my butt because I was working in the garage. Someone had given me a little dirt bike, one of those little motocross type dirt bike things, that you take off road and all that stuff. I don't know if they didn't like me and they figured if he gets it running and gets out there, maybe he'll just keep going. You ain't from around here, are you? Keep going. So anyway, they I had to get it running. They something happened with the fuel tank. The fuel got contaminated, so I had to drain the fuel. So, got water in it or something like that. Anyway, so I was working on it in the garage, and it was an old house that we had rented. And there was in the garage was where the water heater was, and the water heater was a gas water heater. And I had been successful at spilling gasoline all over the garage floor. And, right next to the stack of newspapers, the old newspapers that we had, left. And it was only a single, one car garage, so it was a very small space. And, as I was working in there, gasoline is all over the place. The fumes are terrible. So I open, make sure the door is open enough, and, sure enough, I hear this click. You know how operated things, either a heater or a gas, water heater. You hear the click.
Yeah.
And the pilot light goes.
Oh my God.
And when the gas ignited, like all of a sudden it hit the floor and all those fumes just ignited. Yeah. And here I am with, a pool of gasoline and newspapers, and I'm thinking, oh boy, the rent's going to be high next month. Holy mackerel. So I'm scrambling. I didn't know what to do. And I ran outside and I'm just like in a panic going, what the heck am I going to do with this? And, this mailman, who is not the same mailman as we always have, and he's walking today, which our mailman didn't walk. He had a mail truck, that he would deliver the mail in out at the mailbox, and he's walking and he's got no mail for me, but he's just comes up to me. He taps me on the shoulder. Don't you, pull the window open and, you got the hose there for the neighbor and you can wet down those newspapers in there and get that. Take care of the fire when it burns out. I'm like, okay, thank you. And he's calm as a cucumber, doesn't lift a finger to help me. He just does it. I mean, my house is about ready to ignite, in flames. So I do this, I wet the newspapers down, and then, I'm able to take the newspaper and put out the fire, the wet newspaper, and smother the gas fire. And sure enough, it goes out quickly and no concern. And I'm looking around to thank the guy and he's nowhere to be seen. Just nowhere. I'm looking down the road, to the house next door. He's not there. So I really believe that, God sent that angel mailman.
Yeah. Yeah.
An angel mailman.
Nice. That's great.
So it was, again, another, eye-opening thing for me. So it was a time of great learning for me about what things God could do. So.
Hi, Patty.
Howdy.
Hey, Patty.
You look great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Patty. Hi, Karen.
Hi, hey, Vita. Hey, Karen. Hey, everybody.
All right.
Hi, Steve. Who else is on? Tim. Tim got on.
Tim, Michael.
Alicia. Hi, everybody.
Everybody.
All right. Well, hey, we've given it enough time to start this 11 o'clock fellowship. We're right in the ballpark of when we should begin. It's 11:30.
Well, it messes you up.
Uh-huh.
The time change really messes you up.
Yes, it does a little bit, yeah. Yeah, but most all of us we got it together here pretty much, don't we?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we do. All right. Well, we could get started with some prayer and see what's on y'all's heart, any testimonies, whatever, as usual, and we'll get into some great things, I'm sure. So I'll begin. Anyone else would like to pray, please go right ahead. So Father, thank you for your blessings. I guess Gilly wants to pray too. You probably didn't hear that. So anyway, he distracted me. So Father, thank you again for your love and grace. Thank you for this day that we have together to remember your goodness and your grace, to recall all the great things that you're doing for each of us, to share that great grace one with another. Thank you, Father, for the way you continue to take care of our lives, the way you continue to grant us great health and soundness of mind. Thank you, Father, for the things that we have requested of you, that we can be confident in your ability to take care of those things for each of us. Thank you, Father, that we can be at rest in our hearts knowing that you have us covered in all aspects of our lives, that you are working to bring great abundance and great blessing to each of our lives, that you continue to open doors for us so that we can seek out those things and accomplish those things and do those things that we have on our heart to do. Thank you, Father, for giving us great opportunity to speak your truth to others, that we can minister the truth to them, minister your grace to them, and bring them into the deliverance that they so desperately need. Father, thank you for giving us the words to speak as we have opportunity. Thank you, Father, for energizing that power that dwells within each of us as we need it. Thank you, Father, for continuing to remind us that our lives are all about your grace. They're all about your wonderful goodness. Thank you, Father, for these things. Thank you that we can walk in those things day by day with you and with your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that he accomplished for us, and that we can remember that it's not by our work, but it's by that grace that comes through him. So, Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you again for the great things that you're doing for each of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone else?
Thank you, God, for taking care of Cindy and continuing with her healing and helping her get energy, strength, stamina. Thank you, God, for taking care of my son-in-law and daughter, that their healing continues as well. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, I thank you this morning for all the wonderful believers who weren't able to come here this morning. I thank you, Father, that you have a hedge of protection around them and they are blessed because you are in their lives and they know that we love them. So thanks for this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, too, we thank you for your people all over the world, and Father, for taking care of them, especially those people that are involved in this turmoil and battle that's going on in Ukraine. Father, you have people there and you know who they are. We thank you for protecting them. Thank you for providing a way where there appears to be no way, as always you can do. So Father, we give your people that are in that situation there, that battle, that war, that physical war, that Father, you protect your people and that we can right now intercede on their behalf and energize whatever needs to happen there for them, to protect them, your people. So Father, thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Amen. All right. Well, tell us what's been happening. What's on your hearts? Anything? Yeah, Karen. Yeah.
Last Monday, I woke up and got out of bed, and I leaned over, and I had a sudden bout of abdominal pain. And
that was an understatement.
It was really intense. I mean, I've broken arms, dislocated elbows, birthed three babies, and they didn't compare to the pain that I had. So I managed to get out to the family room, and Charlie helped me get dressed, and I went to the ER to get seen. And, you know, I was, you know, still in intense pain. And they put me in this kind of transport wheelchair that was metal with a little sling kind of thing. So it was really uncomfortable. And I asked for a bed. I said, I'm really hurting. I need a bed. And they told me, we don't have any beds, but we'll get you into one as soon as we can. So they rolled me over to this separate hallway. And there I sat for 2 hours. And nobody even came and checked on me. And I was hurting so bad. And I was kind of drifting in and out, and I couldn't stand up to even call, you know, and get somebody to help me. And I, you know, I just sat there and I prayed and I said, God, it's you and me, and they're not going to take care of me. So I need you to heal me. And he did. I, you know, pain just decreased and went away. And when I finally got in to get my study and got seen, they had determined I had an inguinal hernia, and my bowel had gone through my abdominal wall and was strangling outside my body, which, you know, can lead to, you know, killing your bowel, and you need to have resections and all this kind of stuff. And that usually doesn't just pop back in, but God made it go away. And you know, they could see on the study that it had been out there and been damaged, not permanently, but, you know, they could tell that it had been strangulated out there. And I know God just took care of it, and he put it back in. And I do have to follow up with a surgeon tomorrow and see if they need to repair the inguinal hernia, but the major thing was the bowel. And praise God, he healed it right then and there.
Amen.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They don't go back in by themselves. I know. But
no, usually they don't.
No. No, sir.
Divine intervention. Definitely.
There you go. There you go. Praise God. That's wonderful.
I was sitting in the emergency room waiting area.
He was separate. I couldn't get to him.
And they wheeled her off and told me, oh, you can't go where she's going. Oh, okay. So after an hour or two, I was sitting there, and then I stood up to, I think, go to the restroom, and right around the corner, about 15 feet from where I was sitting, there was Karen out there in the hall. I didn't even know she was there.
Yeah.
I go, oh, what are you doing here?
It was a real blessing to get healed.
That's right. Well, you know, that's God responds. He does. He does. Sometimes it takes a minute. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes a minute for us to get our heart and head where it needs to be to receive. But when we do, God's there. So we can expect that, you know. That's wonderful. Great. Anybody else?
Donnie, your little angel story kind of reminded me of one of my little angel stories as well. I can remember when I was back in Florida, and I was like on my way to work, and I was in a hurry to get there. And so I'm just speeding along the highway in my little car, and I'm literally going at least, I would say, 65, 70 miles an hour in that car. And as soon as I got on the off ramp to get off of the ramp, my entire front axle came off, and it literally just came off. And I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? And so this guy, he just was underneath the overpass, and he came. He was like, you need some help? I said, oh, yeah. He was like, okay, give me a minute. He went underneath the car. He took his belt off. They literally wrapped my axle enough to get my car to be moving. And I literally drove to where I needed to go. of course, I didn't drive anywhere else. I didn't drive myself home like that, but I drove enough to get to work. And the people that came to fix the car, they were like, well, how did they do this? How did this person do this? You know, literally, this is a belt that you wear on your pants. And he fixed the axle to get me to work. And I was like, at that time, I didn't know of God and what he does for his people. But I definitely know that it was God that day that sent that person there, because when I went back to find that person, I never ever saw that person again, the guy that came from underneath the overpass. I definitely know he sent me that angel that day to fix that car. But I just, your story kind of reminded me of what happened to me as well.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, as a car expert, that does not happen. Once the axle is broke, it is broke.
It's broken, right? You can't even move the car any further or anything, right? This guy literally fixed that. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. The entire axle came off the car, but he fixed it.
With a belt.
With a belt, no less. Yes.
That's cool. It must have been a Snap-on belt.
Either that or Mac. You know.
Or Mac, yeah. Mac is a professional level tool. So is Snap-on.
That just goes to show.
The manufacturers of tools, we're just kidding.
Yeah. My God is awesome. That's
absolutely.
All.
Absolutely. All right.
The fact that I didn't wreck out going 60 miles an hour on that car just blows my mind every time I think about it.
That's a slight miracle there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. God does take care of us. Sometimes even when we're not expecting we need his help, he's still there. So, wonderful.
Well, I would like to share something. And
okay.
Something you said, Don. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Something that you said reminded me of an incident that I'd like to share too. What I have been thinking about is light, and how without God there would be no light, because God is light, and He's the creator. He created it for us too. And then I just made a list of what light can do. Light can be bent for good or evil. God, if necessary, bends it for good, while some humans distort the light for their own benefit. So whatever and whoever worldly powers promote, we should want to think and do the opposite. Because evil sets up illusions of light, not bent, but deformed, to ruin our lives. And light can clean the soul. Light can cause you to see his power and wisdom. God can bend time and events / space for people's benefit. With the example of Joshua, needed more daylight to win a battle. And so God did that. So he could win, and he did. And then I thought about Jesus told people that he said, I am light, the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in the beginning, when God created heaven and the earth, and then it became without form and void, there was darkness. And so God moved upon the faces of the waters, and God said, let there be light. So he spoke it into being, and there was light. And so God saw the light. It was good. And he divided the light from darkness. Good idea. And then I thought about how light can purify the air, just like lightning in a storm purifies the air. It's a great example of the sharpness and the quickness of God, and how he can just instantaneously make something whole. like Karen. And then when God, when he speaks his word, when we speak his word, we purify the air spiritually, just like all the prayers that were just done. And so God is light and he doesn't know darkness. And then, Donnie, what made me remember when you spoke this morning, I have a fine example of illusion that the adversary sets up and conditions people. I was a full-time substitute teacher at Pinckneyville Middle School in Norcross, Georgia in the 90s, where my son went to middle school there. And this one day I had to go to a history class, and I had a weekly reader I was supposed to read to them and discuss it. And this was on the Civil War and the whole scenario. So I read the article, and then I asked them the question, who wanted to stop slavery? And my mouth fell on the floor when most of the class yelled out Democrats. And this is not a political thing. This is a spiritual thing. So I said, let's read it again. I said, how about, and I called on somebody to read it. And she read it. And I said, now who wanted to end slavery? And they still answered Democrat. And I said, okay, let's have somebody else read. I mean, I had to do this 3 times. And so the last person read it, and I said, okay, let's read that one sentence. They read the one sentence, and I said, who wanted to? And they go, Republicans? I said, yes. I said, I know the Democratic Party has done a lot of things that you know, in life, but if you check, in Google it even, they didn't have Google then, but I told them if you check in the library and blah, 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 you'll see that the Republicans voted 100% to not have slavery and the Democrats wanted it. And I said, you'll see that the KKK was set up by the Democrats. And I'm thinking, holy cow, this is the adversary's illusion. And that's what I thought about when you said this morning. About we're glad it's gone, but the devil still lives on, and he, this illusion he has set and indoctrinated so many of us that evil is good and good is evil. And I just love God for the light, because the light, we could not live without light. And when he takes us, when Christ comes back to pick us up, there's not going to be any more light in humans left, but they're going to have a second chance. But I don't want to be there, and I don't want my friends to be there or relatives. I want them to be with me at the gathering. But while we're here, I want people to not follow the illusion of the adversary that he sets up, because it's all to cause division. And division has no place in us, in our lives, in anyone's life. So we have to walk in love. And it's not easy sometimes, but we just have to love one another and love so we can love anyone out there, because the unlovable are the hardest ones to love out there. But anyways, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I thought of that situation, and it's always been a big part of my life to have equality is for individuals and to live harmoniously. And when I worked for the Navy, I was allowed to set up the office for the Minority Affairs Division. And this is in the 60s. And I thought, oh my God, this is great. Equality, you know, and it's going to be okay. But, you know, it takes a long time for people to come around. And God is light, and in him is no darkness. And it's not in us. So, that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'll share something.
All right, Andrew.
Well, just, you know, kind of continuing. I know I, like, sound like a broken record talking about, like, the same thing for, like, weeks, but just on my little social mind experiment on getting rid of lack in my life has been incredible. Like, seriously incredible. Basically, I'm searching online, I'm looking, and it's like, okay, well, look for, I see an ad pop up for a drum set. I look at it and I was like, oh, that looks nice. That looks pretty cool. You know, I think I would like that, you know. So anyways, I was like, I kind of don't like that one. I like something that nobody else has. So anyways, continue to look at it. I see this one is just like, bing, right there. And I look at it, I was like, well, it's more than I want to pay for it and everything. So I'm like, I come up to mom, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about buying another drum set. And like, you don't understand, I've had the same one for like 14 years. I don't get rid of stuff.
He really
does. I was like, it's fine, I'll just put some duct tape on it, it's okay. So so anyways, I go up to mom. I was like, hey, mom, okay, I'm getting my tax return. I'm thinking about buying a drum set. How much should I spend? And she was like, okay, how much you're getting? And it was kind of like that business deal. It's like, okay, I'm going to slide a piece of paper to you, and you're going to slide it back. So it was like, I told her how much I was getting, and she wrote down a number and slid it back. And she said all of it, right? I was like, well, really? There's not, you guys need or anything? She was like, nope, you spend all of it on your drum set. She said, you work hard and you spend all of it. So I was like,
you didn't know, actually, if the note said what he was going to give me. I'm kidding.
So, like I said, yeah. So I was like, you know, really just struggling with this. It was something that's like, okay, God, what if I need this money? What if we need to do something to the house? What if we need to do that? And, you know, I was really speaking in tongues and thinking about it. And God said to me, Andrew, I made the box. Don't put me in it. So I was like, all right. So I got my trusty, dusty credit card out and, you know, did all the stuff on it. And then it was like, okay, bam, click, I got it. And then there was a couple other things that happened. Like, it was a whole big mess, like if it was going to get here or if I actually got it or anything. And then it was like, all right, for a couple days, I didn't know if I was going to get it or not. And then, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'll just look at other ones. I'll do this. I'll go back to my own understanding. I'll do the whole Abraham thing, you know, I'll do the whole Abraham thing, not go with the promise, but try to do my own thing with it. And then, like, I kept on looking at them. I was like, no, 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 not that one. Not that one. And it was just like, God was like, hey, Andrew, stop looking. I said this was your drum set. I said, don't put me in this box. So anyways, I call yesterday, and guy's like, yeah, it's going to be here Monday. Everything's fine. It just didn't show up on the website. What are you worried about? Why are you calling me? What are you worried about? Everything's good. Everything's good, man. So it's like, okay. I was like, okay, God, what am I doing here? You know, I said I wasn't going to do that anymore. I said I wasn't going to come from a position of lack.
And, you know, it's like, I know that you put that in front of me because it's the same color as my other one. Like, almost the exact same color, except this one's wood and the other one is vinyl or whatever. And, you know, I know that would bless me. So what's my deal? Am I really, really focused on this? Am I really, really focused on not lacking and having you supply everything I need and everything I want? Well, not everything I want, but what he wants me to have. Am I really focused on that? Am I really focused on your goodness and nothing else? That's where it comes from. We got to be focused on God, nothing else. Sure, yeah, the adversary does a lot, whatever. He's been doing a lot, you know, from the beginning of our history. But you know what? It's not supposed to be our focus. Jesus Christ came and he says he put down principalities and powers. Put down, that means he disarmed them. It's like a lion that, you know, God took away all of his teeth. Took away every single tooth he had. He can't bite you, all he can do is roar at you. But we can turn that power against ourselves. We can think, oh, well, he has power over us. No, that's bull. He has no power over us. You know, I don't know. I think, you know, we just need to focus on God and what he has to bless us with and not focus on the adversary. The adversary, whatever. God, yeah. That's where it's at. He wants to bless us.
When you're negative like that, you're not giving God glory. You're giving glory to the adversary.
God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us.
I've been thinking in the week, when I first got in the Word in 1902, he would always say, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I didn't understand that really until I went to Went Wow in Chicago. And Joe Garini said that your words go out and they're like seeds. And they're planted. And they grow, you know. And are you getting weeds from the negativity or are you getting positive seeds from positive words that you speak? And I've really been thinking about that a lot. And I've been really thinking about how we always look for deliverance. We don't, you know, opportunity. What is it? Experience, glory and tribulation.
Tribulation with the patience experience hope. And hope make them not ashamed.
So, I was in the hospital for 2 months. And they said for last year. And I had some intestinal problems. And they said I couldn't eat or drink any water for 2.5 months. And I said, God, how am I going to do this? Because, you know, I like water. I like water. I couldn't even drink water. And 2.5 months, I said, I like food. You know, and they bring it. And God helped me. He took away my appetite. And I just was getting fed intravenously, just twice. And they would bring me food and it would smell so good. I said, well, I'm not supposed to have this. The doctor said I can have it. But it was something because the time went so fast and I always looked for deliverance. He always brought deliverance. And Andrew came every day and he would fuss at me. Oh, what are you doing to these people? You know, you're not supposed to. Don't let them bully you. Don't let them manipulate you. He always delivered.
Yeah.
He always delivered.
Yeah.
And I always, I always remind myself to watch what I said.
Yeah.
The word always says, you shall have whatsoever you say.
But also what you magnify.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, he always offers you deliverance, don't shoot with him.
Yeah. What's that old joke? I'm in a boat, a plane, in a car. So anyway,
yeah,
the word is so wonderful, and I'm so glad my children, you know, they put me on the word all the time. But you know, I have my challenge.
It's okay.
But I always felt like that was my first relationship with him, was brother and sister in Christ. And they were always, Mom, you're not supposed to do that. Mom, you're not supposed to do that. The word says this, the word says that. And I was, oh. But I had to show them I was held by the word.
True.
You know, it was hard. You know, you don't want to go to work and you call me, well, I'm not, Mom, you're not supposed to do that. But I always felt like, how can I expect them to obey the word if I don't? So, God bless you.
That's great. That's great. Thank you, Ruth. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're held by the word. You know, we may know it, but, you know, is what we live by. So it's beautiful. Wonderful.
I love that, Ruth. I love hearing you share and seeing, you know, in Andrew and Nina, those seeds that you have sown and the words that you have spoken into their lives, that power of life and death is in the tongue. And mm-hmm. So we choose life. We choose blessing. And it's so evident in their lives. Oh, did you guys see that? Charlie and Karen just drank their cup of coffee at the same second. That's one flesh. There you go. No, but that was beautiful. I loved it. I guess I'll share real quick. I had, I wanted to read this verse that Cheryl referred to. That was awesome stuff you shared too, Cheryl. Wow, it was a mouthful. It was a lot. Because life is filled with illusion, you know, and you referred to the people, you know, saying evil is good and good is evil. I wanted to read that verse. It's, and just write it down. You can look it up later. Isaiah 5, verse 20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. You lean not to your own understanding. You know, we always have to seek God's counsel, you know, and sometimes we're off and sometimes we're on. But as long as we continue to look to God, we know that his deliverance is so great. And, you know, all you guys are, we all go through struggles. We all have challenges. You know, we just always have to remember about seeking the light. Now, I used to have this saying that I say to myself, two things I hated in life were, and it was just between me and God. It'd be like, I don't want to get tricked by the adversary and I don't want to waste time. And so, you know, it's like, don't hand me a Mickey. You know, you get, I that figuratively for all you young folks, don't give me a counterfeit. I don't want something that isn't you, God. And I used to do this thing in the grocery line where I would read the junk newspapers. Remember those where, you know, there'd be like an alien on the front of one, or there'd be like all this preposterous stuff. Now it's all over your phone and your internet feeds and everything else. It's like, okay, they're saying light is darkness. They're saying evil is good and good is evil. It's like, okay, God, thank you for showing us what we need to know and the truth about these types of things. So anyway, I thought that was a very cool verse in Isaiah. And, you know, I love one of the first verses I learned when I first got in the Word. And, you know, being a hippie artist, I made a big poster of it. Cheryl, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And I put it on my, tacked it up on my wall. You know, it used to drive me crazy when my kids would tack stuff up on their walls or tape it or something, you know. It's like you get a little older, you get a little more sophisticated with how you hang a picture or something, right? But the heart was the same. You know, my heart then and now is God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And, you know, everything that's been shared was so beautiful. And something else that was on my heart, I'll just share it briefly. You know, I love to study God's word, the things regarding the return of Christ when we meet him in the air, you know, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you know, we're not going to go through tribulation. We're not going to go through the darkness that's impending that could come at any moment when Christ gets us out of here and then the tribulation period hits. We're going to meet him in the air and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Greek word there is harpazo. And I was looking through some of my notes. You know, it means to snatch us up, to get us the heck out of here. You know, it has a sense of urgency to it. You know, he will get caught up. It is the what it is. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll be caught up together and meet him in the clouds. And to be caught up is the Greek word harpazo, which means we get snatched out of here almost so quickly, like in that twinkling of an eye, like it says in 1 Corinthians 15. It's so fast. It's like this atomic boom thing that happens so quickly. But the note that I found that it's like, okay, I love just stuffing my Bible full of all kinds of stupid pieces of paper and they'll fall out and I'll go, you know, and it'd be like, oh, I want to throw all this away. Well, I think I might read this one today. And anyway, harpazo is a derivative of the root word hieremai. It comes from that Greek word, which is for choose or choosing. You know, a lot of Greek words are just compound words of, and they have root forms that they come from. Well, it comes from to choose or for choosing. And then also, the word for fruit, and there's a point to this, the word for fruit is karpos and its root word is harpazo. Now, all I'm really trying to say in a very random, you know, quick thingy. I've studied this for years and years and years. I love it. It's my passion that we are to God like a ripe, perfect, pristine, beautiful piece of fruit that he is going to snatch us out of here in the twinkling of an eye. And it is that he has chosen us. It is by choosing. We have eternal life. We have, you know, so shall we ever be with him in the air. And, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, you know, like Timothy says, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. But the word fruit comes from the Greek word harpazo. He's going to pick us as ripe pieces of fruit. It's going to happen quickly. And the timing is about urgency. Before all that S-H bleep bleep hits the fan, really hits the fan. I mean, you think it's hitting the fan now? Oh, it's just the foreshadowing. When it really hits the fan, we are out of here. You know, we are not going to go through the tribulation period. We continue to look for the hope of our Lord's return. And it kind of helps you put it in a perspective where you want to talk about illusion. and darkness out there, if you have the perspective that Christ is going to get you out of here, that is your anchor. Your hope of Christ's return is your anchor, both sure and steadfast, like it says in Hebrews. And that gives us perspective. You know, our confidence is not in the flesh. Our confidence is not in what everybody out there is saying. Our confidence is in trusting that God is going to take care of us. You know, so plain, so simple, no lack, you know, and you said something, Andrew, I don't know exactly how you said it, but something about, you don't have everything you want. Well, okay, you don't have everything you want yet. You know, it's all in God's good timing, right? Sometimes it takes a minute for these miracles and things to happen, for things to line up, for God to work it out for us. But we do know we have promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. We do know we have all the answers to life and godliness that he's given us through his written word and through him talking to us in that real time moment when he speaks to us individually. And you got to make sure you're not hearing an illusion, like that you're not listening to something hokey out there. You got to make sure you're really seeking God's counsel. And if you're not sure, like Andrea and I were talking about this last week, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. It's okay. It's okay to coast, you know, till whatever needs to line up in the universe or in our head and heart or people around us. We love you guys. That's what was on my heart in a nutshell, a snippet.
Wonderful. Great.
That word harpazo is related to the Latin word carpe, as in carpe diem, seize the day.
Yes. Yes.
Snatch the day.
Steve also has the greatest insight on the coolest things that, thank you. Mm-hmm. I like Latin words, you know, like the rapture. That's a Latin word, you know, it comes from rapturo. I like that term, the rapture. Some people don't, you know, we've always been so ingrained in saying, okay, it's, you know, the return or, you know, the gathering. Well, yes, it's all of the above, and it is the rapture, the rapturo. It is seizing.
Snatching.
That's snatching, right? So there you have it. Another insight.
Call it what you will. Just believe it.
Yeah.
All right. What else? That was wonderful. Great. What else do we have?
Thanks, hon.
Well, I just wanted to say everything that everybody has shared has really touched my heart. It has been amazing watching God work in my life right now. And situations have just opened up because I've just decided to let it ride. That's the thing that, you know, God works with you so individually and how you work, how he works with you, but with me, when I let it ride, it's just like I take my hand out like I got dice in my hand and just throw it. But, you know, dice means chance. But in my mind, when God's, you know, when I do that, it's like I already know God has made me win. So, the situations that I'm in right now, Donnie and Patty know what was going on and, you know, and you guys kind of knew that I needed a place and everything else and everything, beyond every expectation that I could ever think about, has been taken care of. You know, and there have been some spiritual issues that have come up and, you know, and the things that you guys shared, today has helped me through that too, you know, so it's just been, really wonderful just to go ahead and just say, okay, you know, I don't need to handle all this. I just need to go ahead and put my trust in God and let him work and see it happen. So
Yeah, it was a miracle and answer of prayer for sure, getting you the place that you needed and so quickly.
And we thought, you know, well, if I'll check with my next door neighbor, Mindy, and she's on a cruise. So I private messaged her and finally, you know, she said, that'd be great and blah, blah, blah. And yet it wasn't exactly what Jim needed. Jim needed something closer to his job. So, you know, God works it all out. You know, we do what we can do for each other, but, you know, God is the one who provides, not me, not some other guy, you know. Right. We pray, and I just wanted Tim to have what Tim needed. And, you know, it's by godly design, Tim. You're there to bless that guy and to let your light shine.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to have a full functional recording studio with a set of drum set where I didn't have to bring anything with me, too. That kind of helps.
Yeah.
Kind of Ephesians 3:20 style there.
Tim's well, you know, I walk in there the day that I go in there and end up cutting four songs for a new album for this guy, and I've been working, doing studio work ever since I've been there. So, you know, I've been playing music every day, you know, and it's just been really a joy because it's so much a part of my life and to be able to share that with other people. And to see God work in the tracks that I'm laying down, you know, I'm laying down tracks first time. I hear the music and I know what needs to be done and I put it on there and people are like amazed. They're like, how can you do that in just one track? And I said, I just lay it down because that's what I hear and that's what I trust, you know, and it's just, you know, you know, my taxes, you know, like I've always had to pay taxes, you know, $1,600, $1,700. I ended up getting $650 back from the federal and $450 back from the state this year. I don't even know how that happened. You know, I just things like that, just constantly, you know, is, just being in the right place in the right time and just enjoying life. You know, just enjoying where you're at the time you're at, instead of wondering if I'm doing right or if I'm doing wrong, just trust, you know. So that's kind of how things have been going with me. So
Tim did send us pictures of this place. I mean, it's like has Tim's name all over it. It's full kitchen, all these rooms, all this recording studio stuff, furniture that Mindy didn't have furniture. So
it was perfect.
Perfect.
That's God, though. That's what God likes to do. He provides the perfect answer. So we have a lot of things that God has continued to do for each of us over the years, and he'll continue to do it, right? It's like that great verse that I love it so much, you know, that what he has begun in you, he will continue to perform.
Yeah.
You know, at that moment of the new birth, he began a work in each of our lives. He began working in us. At that moment, we said, yeah, Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Lord. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And from that moment, he began working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, to bring you through situations and circumstances, to give you those things that would bring you to this place of knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that you're a son or daughter of the Most High and knowing that with him looking out for you, you have nothing to fear. You know, he began that in you and he will continue to perform that way in each of our lives until the day he snatches us all out of here. And then we are changed. Then we are made like Christ is right now. You know, we are given that new body. We are given eternal life. And that is such a great thing that God has presented to us. Like, that's the carrot that God dangles in front of each of us. It's like, here's a carrot, baby. This is the hope of Christ's return, to get you out of this messy world, to get you to a place that is glorious in every respect. It's just the perfect eternity for each of us, you know, and that is the hope that we have, that it would be today. I hope it's today. I hope I never have to push my clock back and ever again. Or I don't want to push it back next fall. I don't want to push it forward next spring. I just want Christ to get me out of here. You know, and that's our hope, and that's what we desire day by day. You know, and that's what like Patty mentioned in that great verse in Hebrews, it anchors our soul to the things of God. Our soul, you know, that which makes you you, you know, that part of you that is so unique in every respect. You know, it's like an NFT. You know what that is?
What?
The non-fungible token. Well, for all you crypto maniacs out there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, baby.
See, Cheryl asked me about that. Do you know anything about NFTs? And yes, you know, these new things out there, the crypto market, all that business, all that stuff that they're talking about. NFTs are unique and they cannot be duplicated. And I think this is just marvelous because that's what our soul life is. It is unique and it cannot be duplicated. There is only one you. There's only one Charlie. I mean, how could there ever be any more? Right? There's only one Vita. Who would need any more than one of you? You know, this is the uniqueness of each of our lives. And this is why God has chosen us. Because he sees our uniqueness. He sees our value in who we are. And even more so in what he has made us by giving us that Holy Spirit. So we are unique in every way. And we will hold that uniqueness throughout all eternity. We won't be made like everyone else. We won't be just clones, right? We will be unique in our eternity. Either that or God has just got a really bad sense of humor. Why would he make us all different now, only to make us all the very same throughout eternity? No, I think that would be very boring for God. Going to be very boring for us, right? I mean, we often joke about, you know, well, if everybody was like me, I wouldn't argue with anybody. I wouldn't have any problems with anybody. But yet again, I argue with myself all the time. And yet, you know, we treasure this uniqueness. We treasure in each one of our lives that unique soul because we are individual and we are unique and we are so precious to God. And so therefore we're precious to one another. You know, you're irreplaceable. You. There's only one you. There's only ever going to be one you. And I treasure your life. I praise God for your life. That's why when you need my help, I can speak in tongues for you. I can intercede on your behalf because you are precious to me. And you are precious to the Most High. You know, I've said it oftentimes in the past, if you were the only one to believe that God raised his son Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord, God would have done it. He would have made him go through that brutality just for you, just for one. And yet there are countless millions of those who have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And now can continue to expect God to do even more for each of our lives. You know, and that's the whole thing. You know, it's like what Andrew mentioned before, you know, am I consumed with my lack or am I consumed with God's goodness? Am I consumed with the things that I need answers to or am I consumed with God's ability to perform the answer to those problems, the answer to those prayers, the supply of that which I need? You know, am I consumed with God's ability or mine? You know? That's why that verse in Isaiah that I mentioned in the letter stood out to me so. You know, because what are we expecting? Who are we waiting on? Who are we waiting for? You know, well, we're waiting ultimately for the Lord to come back. But until then, we're waiting on God to continue to do what he has promised to do. We're expecting him to do what he has promised he'll do. We're not expecting for our own lives to be able to provide for each of us, right? I expect very little out of my flesh, but I expect a heck of a lot out of God because he's so much bigger than I am. And, you know, I expect him to continue to perform. I expect for the adversary to try and throw monkey wrenches into my gears, you know, the gears of my mind. You know, he's constantly sticking monkey wrenches in there and screwdrivers in there, you know, to jam up the works. You know, I love watches, you know, and most watches that I really love to wear are the ones that have a crystal back so that you can see all the gears and all the stuff that goes on inside of a watch. Then I mean, I think it's fascinating to me. I don't know. I'm kind of geeky that way sometimes. Like I am geeky with grammar, right? Sometimes. Not in the way I speak. Sometimes my grammar is really out to lunch. But I understand it. So, but gears, you know, I mean, it's like I often look at a watch. If you can see, you know, the working that's going on in there, you know, that beautiful way that watches work. And if you, I would just imagine sometimes sticking a little screwdriver right in the middle of it. Boy, that would just mess it up completely. It would just totally stop it in its tracks. And that's what the adversary tries to do with each of our lives. You know, he tries to throw those monkey wrenches into the works, you know, to get it all caught up so that it doesn't function anymore, you know. But, you know, ultimately to get us to expect something from the world instead of something from God. And that's why we have that spirit within us to help continue to remind us that God's working in there. God's working in you. Right? God is working in you and he will continue to work until he fulfills every jot and every tittle of every promise. He continues to work. You know, so that's why we have no fear, right? That's that great verse, you know, in Timothy where it's, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? Is that 2 Timothy? Mm. I believe it's 2 Timothy.
Yes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7. What a great verse of scripture. You know, what a great encouragement. You know, he has not given us the spirit of fear. There is no reason for a believer to fear. No reason. When he's focused on what God has done and what God has promised he will do and what God continues to do. He's not given us the spirit of fear. There is no reason for a believer to be a coward, to cower in fear of anything. Of anything. But this spirit that he has given to us is powerful. It enables us with power. It enables us to love. And it enables us to have sound minds. Sound minds. A sound mind is a mind that is fearless. A sound mind is a mind that sees clearly. Not only the physical, but the spiritual. A sound mind is a mind that is not tricked by illusion. A sound mind is a powerful mind. Because a sound mind continues to expect and wait on the Lord. That's what a sound mind is. You know, people say you're insane. People will tell you you're insane. You're crazy to think that God can do anything for you. He's too busy, you know, with something else. No, he's not. God is a God that can do the impossible. He can do the impossible. And where we find ourselves in this state of mind of focus on that powerful spirit that we have, that spirit which enables us to love the unlovable and bring them to great deliverance, keeps our minds. It keeps our heart and our mind. It guards our heart and mind. Because that spirit within us is more, it's more powerful. It's more dominant. It supersedes everything. That spirit that dwells within us. And that's why we don't have to be ashamed, right? Like it says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, right? What is the witness of the Lord? Hey, you can know the Father if you know me, right? You can come to know the Father if you will, but just let me show you who he is. And knowing the Father is the greatest knowledge that we could ever have in life. Knowing who the Almighty God is to each one of us. He's a Father. He loves us. He cherishes us. He holds us in such high regard because he has made us like his son, like his daughter. He has made us that way. That's why we can rejoice in this life. Not only for that which is to come, but we can rejoice now. We can enjoy the great benefits of being God's precious ones, God's anointed, God's children. You know, what is there that we lack if our Heavenly Father is the creator of all of life? The universe, everything. Not only this one, but those that are so far off that we didn't even know they were there until they got some Hubble telescope up there to say, wow, there's other ones up there.
Yeah.
Look at those. Wow. Look at how far away they are. And all of this is just like God's little coffee table. It. God is so huge. He is so beyond description. And yet he has said, I'm going to make them my children. I'm going to be their God. I'm going to be their Father. So what is it that is too difficult for God? Nothing. So when we go to God, when we see how rough a road we have before us, perhaps we go to God and we expect him to smooth that road. We expect him to level our way. We expect him to make a road that is smooth, easygoing. That's what we expect because we know who our Father is. You know, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going out there in the world. And that's all by design of the adversary to get us distracted from what God has really privileged us to be a part of. You know, God has privileged us to be a part of all that he has designed and purposed throughout all the ages. It's all been with this focus, this time. Where he would have sons and daughters who would be out there representing him amidst the darkness of the world, right? Where we would bring light wherever we go. You know, that's what God purposed for each of our lives. So it's easy to get distracted from that simple thing. And yes, there are challenges that we face. Hard challenges in life. You know, it's like, you know, in that section in Isaiah 40, it speaks of, you know, the young, even the young get tired. You know, even the young people who have all this energy. You know, I can look at, when we have opportunity to be around our grandson, he's like this ball of energy. He doesn't stop. It seems like he's never going to run out of energy. And yet, all of a sudden, boom, he's down and out. Sawing logs, nothing can wake him. Even the young get tired and worn out. And yet, those who are waiting on the Lord renew their strength. Strength is renewed, not after a good nap, but it's renewed as it needs to be renewed. Because this is a spiritual renewal. This is a spiritual energy that God provides. And then that beautiful figure of speech, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. What a great figure of speech. You've seen eagles, you've seen hawks, you know, flying. It's effortless to them. They could just fly those currents for hours and hours and hours. It's effortless. All they got to do is, you see their little feathers going. It's effortless. How could they tire out? It's the beautiful figure of speech that God gives to us for encouragement. It's just like flying. Effortless. You run and you're not labored. You walk and it's just like, it's okay. You just keep going. Never get weary. And you know that those words, weary and faint, they're both from the same word. I mean the same thing. Get tired. Never get tired. I never get tired from running. I never get tired from my walks. We just continue to conduct our lives in the light of God's truth. And we are renewed. When we need that strength, we have it. When we need that energy, we have it. It's not to say we don't sit down and rest. Of course we do. We do. It's just a matter of where we're deciding to sit down and rest. Are we taking our rest in the presence of God, or are we taking our rest amidst the turmoil of the world? We've got to remember that we can enter into the presence of God at any time, any place, and rest. And then our strength is renewed. So we have great promise, you know, as sons and daughters of God. We really do. And nothing that we face can defeat us if we decide to trust God, if we decide to continually place our trust in Him and in the word that He has spoken to us. Whether it be that which we've read or that which He encourages us with in our hearts day by day, you know, to open the eyes of our understanding, to teach us, to encourage us, to comfort us. We have great things in front of us, only great things. We can continue to expect that God will perform. God will perform that which He's called us to. So thank God for the many, many things that He does day by day. I thank God for each of you, and I treasure your lives. I really do. I really do. So don't stop expecting God to fulfill that which you have asked Him to fulfill. Don't allow the adversary to defeat that expectation. Because He'll try. He'll continue to try. And He will continue to fail. Because you have Christ in you. And you're waiting and expecting for your Father to perform. So, Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for continuing to provide for us all those things that we request of you. Father, thank you for your great grace that makes this all available. Thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. And thank you for the way you continue to look past our shortcomings and look only at us as your precious, precious sons and daughters. Those that you have called out of the darkness into your presence. Thank you, Father, that we can enjoy that day by day as we continue to focus on who you are and your great faithfulness to all that you have called us to. Thanks, Father, for these things. Thank you for the importance that, that our lives hold in this world, that, Father, we can have a profound effect on those around us as we speak for you and live for you. Thank you, Father, for these things. And thank you for that spirit that dwells within each of us that we can continue to employ every day of our lives as we wait for your Son to come and get us. So thank you for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, whatever you're inspired to do.
Esho no kote ke yon so de yon sha kariyata senta kariyanto. Eleon so ko shanta ha yeno shkariyanta ha yifun. Akiyanto si yata ki yati yeno kariyata ha yeleon so kariyama. Eno se kariyata ni yonto kariyasa. And know, my beloved dear children, that I sent my Son to pay every price for you. He accomplished everything that you would ever need. So you do not have to fear in this world because you have been endued with power from on high. That power that's within you can crush the devil's head. It does not matter the sounds and the noises that he try to throw at you. Greater is he that lives within you than he that tries those different things. Because I have put that power within you. Trust in it. Trust in everything that I have given you through my word. And I have said to you through my word, because you do have strength, you do have power, you have God and Christ in you. And there is nothing that can shake that. There's nothing that can take that away from you. So do not allow him to steal your speech, but speak what I have given you. Speak those words that are victorious, because you are a victor.
Be strong this day, my beautiful, beautiful children. Be confident in who I have made you, not according to the world's standards, for truly you are beautiful. You are perfect in my sight. Therefore, every step is victory. Every thought that you can have can be my thoughts if you seek me daily and desire me more than anything out there in the world. For truly I have made you special and perfect in my sight, my children. Simply believe me. Believe my truths that are written in the scriptures. Believe what I tell you as you walk and talk with me. Know, my children, that we have all eternity together, so there is nothing that you should ever fear. Even if you do face things that are challenging from time to time, you know the end result is going to be deliverance. So continue to stand for me, my children. It will be eternal rewards for you. So enjoy this victory now.
My little children, I love you with a deep and burning love, and yea, you are so precious to me. There's not anything that I would not do for you. So simply ask and believe that I'm going to take care of all those issues that you have in your life, because I am your Father. But not only am I the your Father, but I am the creator of the heavens and earth. Think not that I can't do anything for you. So continually come to me with your precious promises, because they are precious to me. Every thought that you have is precious to me. So please come to me, and I will meet all your needs.
want to thank you so much for those words of edification, Father. Thank you that you are, again, our dad, and you are our protector. You are our breath, Father. Just thank you for those things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, amen. Amen. You guys are wonderful.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
That I want to get it in my notes right. That noise that you made about an eagle flying, how do you spell that?
I don't know. I wish you could have read it in the original, though.
You know, Steve, it must be the name, because my brother was named Steve. He used to quote Latin all the time, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.